sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texture says Israel's a clown emoji. Yeah, we're not
going to
do that. We're not going to bash on Israel because he has a bad take. 713-780-3776. Is Deshaun Watson done in Cleveland? I don't think so. Yeah,
no, they put him on the pup list.
Yeah, I don't think he's done. I think he'll play again for the Browns. Gilbert has better text than Israel, says Keith. We're not doing this. We're not going to bang on Israel just because your opinion's different. Sanders needs to learn to step up in the pocket if he wants to make it. This point you mentioned, if he wasn't Deion's kid, he'd be a practice squad guy today. If Shador's daddy wasn't Deion, nobody would be talking about him.
That's facts. That's like when he's blowing all of his innuendo and stupidity at us about he's one of the most popular players in the NFL. No, he's not. He's like gossip NFL because everybody wants to see because of his dad and the hype train that he's lived on his entire life where the train falls off the tracks. It could be very soon.
I mean, the jersey sales is a good argument for Israel's claim that he's a star.
Greater than Mahomes, greater than Justin Jefferson,
I don't think he said that he's a bigger star.
He said he's one of the biggest stars in the NFL.
That allows for a gray area there. I mean, saying one of the isn't saying he's more
biggest
of a star
stars
than Mahomes.
Can play. Biggest stars also sell jerseys.
It depends on how you're defining star. Like, I would define it what you're saying. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Okay. I agree with you. I'm just playing the devil's advocate part of it. If you wanted to define stardom strictly on jersey sales, he would have a point.
Have you seen numbers on his jersey sales?
The top three. This says rookies. I'd have to see jersey sales.
Yeah, see,
rookies leads all NFL rookies.
That's
in jersey
totally
sales.
Different than like one of the biggest stars in the NFL. Because even if you're just saying, okay, if he's one of the biggest stars from jersey sales, he's not top 10.
Yeah, I'd have to see the data, and I haven't seen the data, so I couldn't tell you. Send us some proof, Israel. Send us some proof. We're asking for your proof and discovery.
What's his jersey sale war?
I don't want to know that.
He'll know that.
Israel lives in a reality of his own making. Hard evidence like numbers don't exist for him. We're not going to bash Israel. We're not going to do this the rest of the show. 713-780-3776. Take his name off his jersey and who his daddy is. Nobody cares. If he wasn't Deion Sanders' kid, would he be in the NFL?
I would say as caveat, as a practice squad player, there's a chance.
I still think he's in the NFL. I really do. I don't think he's.
But most
I think
teams
he'd be
go
in
too
his current
deep. Is he
going to
be a backup on someone's team?
I mean, he's a third string right now in Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. So too deep make the roster, right? Except you can make the 53.
Yeah, it depends on the team. I do think he would be a third string quarterback in the NFL. I'm not sure that his name helped them a whole lot in the draft. Actually, you can make the argument it actually was not
scared
good.
A lot of people off.
Yeah, like I still think if he was some random no namer at Colorado, not primetime son, I still think he would have been drafted in the fifth round, and I still think he's the third round quarterback. We're not talking about him. We're not talking about him. But I do think he'd be in the NFL. Textured that the take was the worst thing to come out of Israel since Jake Asman. Not doing this.
Wow, you.
Blank
you
sounds like.
The headline there.
Blank sounds like he just doesn't like Sanders.
That's not true. I was the one saying, let's see what he can do when people were bitching about the fact that he was getting screwed by starting a preseason game. No, you're on a stage where everyone can see you, and if you make a few plays, then make a name for yourself. That's the biggest thing. Make a name for yourself by showing you belong, showing you can play, and showing you can impress a team. And evidently, he didn't impress the Browns all that much, but at least he still made the roster. I'm not rooting against him. I'm just tired of Israel constantly trying to completely blow him up like he's something he's not.
No, Israel definitely overrates him. I think that's very fair to say. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. So Deontay Johnson got cut today. How about the fall from grace for this guy, huh? Like, he was
as boom, shakalaka!
As last year. Rick Kamla, thank you very much. As recently as last year at the start of the season, this is a guy, okay, this guy can go. This guy's going to do some numbers. Gets cut, bad teammate, comes to Houston because the Texans were desperate for receiver, doesn't get many targets in the playoff game, had to be hugged after the game because he was so sad, demanded to talk to D'Amico, and they got cut the next day when the Texans were desperate for receivers. I think this is going to be the end of Deontay Johnson's career. I think somebody will like pick him up or whatever, but I think this is the end of his career. I'm not sure we see him again in a game.
Welcome to Canada if you want to try and resurrect your career or whatever they're calling the USFL now. But this guy has totally overestimated where he should be in this league, and he completely didn't know how to read a room, which means the locker room, in a winning locker room after a playoff game, thinking about me. And he basically got a hard dose of reality yet again today when the writing has already been on the wall that no matter how good you think you are, unless you are a good teammate and act the way you're supposed to act, you're not going to have a job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough go of it. Jacoby Myers, will he be traded, yes or no?
I don't think so. I think that they're going to try and work it out with him, but I think he has to have a better sense of reality of what his true value is because he's not going to get wide receiver one money.
I think he's going to – oh, man, I'm so torn on this. It's so close to the season. They signed Amari. They like Thornton. Geno's calling Trey Tucker, Santana Moss. I kind of think he's going to get traded. I kind of think he's going to get traded. CBS listed the four teams that he's most likely to get traded to.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, see, the problem is if he gets traded, he's going to pull the same crap with somebody else trying to get the value that I don't think he's worth. So as a trade partner, you have to realize that part of the deal is probably going to be contingent on him getting a new deal. I'm not giving him more than $20 million a year.
I think I'd give him 20.
I'm saying, I'm not giving him more than $20 million a year. He's not going to get into the wide receiver one category of $27 to $30 to $33 million a year. I just don't think he's that good.
Yeah, but what if it's like 25?
Short term.
Yeah, like what if it's 75 for three?
It depends on how desperate the team is trading for him, too.
Right.
Because the price matters as well. If I don't have to give up much, and if I got to give him 25 for a year or two, or three.
See, I think he's underrated.
75 for three feels like it's past my cutoff point, though.
See, I think that seems high, too.
What if 75 for three, but like 50 of it's guaranteed? What if that third year is like a non-guaranteed year?
If you play some funny math with the guarantees to where it's basically a two-year deal, that would be fine. But like otherwise, I think I'd be out past like 3 years, $60 million. I think that'd be my cutoff point.
There's 14 players in the NFL, 14 receivers in the NFL who make 25, which Nico, by the way, is under 25. What a steal.
Yeah,
Like Nico was robbed by Nick Casario. He was robbed because he might be the most underpaid top receiver in the game, other than like these rookie contracts. Like Puka, I think, still in a rookie contract, so he'd be up there. So the guys that are making 25: Jamar 40, Justin Jefferson 35, CD 34, Metcalf 33, Wilson 32.5, Brown 32, McLaurin 32, Amon-Ra 30, Tyreek 30, Ayuk 30, and then tore his ACL. Higgins 28.75, Wiggins 28.25, DJ Moore 27.5, Devontae Smith 25. I think he could get 25 a year.
I think he's clearly below
Devontae Smith is the last one.
Yeah.
I don't think he's better than
Devontae. He's clearly a tier below Devontae Smith, in my opinion.
But recency of when you sign the contract comes into play here.
Sure. It always does.
Sure.
Right?
I couldn't break 25 for him.
Cortland Sutton's at 23. Ridley's at 23.
I'd rather
Godwin's at 22. Diggs is at 21.
I'd rather have Sutton. I would not rather have Ridley, I think. Because of the age.
He's at least 22 and a half, and he's making 11.
No, he's
definitely... He deserves twice as much as he's making.
He's 100% underpaid. No argument there. Like, the deal that the Patriots got, or not the Patriots, he left the Patriots. The deal the Raiders got is, in hindsight, an amazing deal for the team, but I think 25 is too far. Like, 20 to 22, sure, but 25 is too far.
You think he gets traded?
No, it's too late in the process. Not only for the Raiders because they couldn't fill the spot that he would vacate, but also for the new team. I mean, it's hard for what we talking like fantasy. Like it's hard for wide receivers in year one in a new situation to always produce. Like he's got 2 weeks.
What if it's not a new situation?
What would not be the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
He had some bad feelings.
New-ish, obviously.
He had some bad feelings. Now,
the bad people, feelings get forgotten pretty quick whenever they pay you $25 million a year.
Right, and the people responsible for those bad feelings are now gone. So maybe he moves on.
So the four top spots, CBS predicting. Patriots are at the top of the list, which they've been wanting receivers. Diggs, who knows what he's going to be. After I like Pop Douglas. Kyle Williams kind of didn't have a great camp, they say. Steelers, second. Which they don't really have a great receiver, too.
No.
I mean, DK Metcalf
DK and no
Roman
one else,
Wilson.
Really.
Roman Wilson's your second receiver.
I just looked
at
their final roster, too, on receivers, and there was someone that...
Roman
was...
Wilson's there, too.
Okay.
Roman Wilson, their number two receiver.
He was a second-round pick,
he
but...
He was a high draft pick,
but
and
it
he
hasn't
got
done
hurt.
Much.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
49ers are third, which they do need receiver help because everybody's hurt. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk hurt. Third in Jawan Jennings.
Jawan, I think, is holding out for contract.
He also has a calf thing.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't think those are unrelated.
And then the Vikings are fourth.
The Vikings are looking for receiver from help from anybody.
I don't think they need it, though.
Yeah, Addison's out three games. Why do you need to make a big move?
But they think they do.
I mean, we don't know that yet.
I mean, supposedly they were all over trying to get Thielen. And then
but they didn't
want to
pay him.
And the Panthers didn't want to get rid of him.
I read that differently. I read that as the Panthers were trying to drive up the price on Thielen, and the Vikings said, no, thanks. We're good. That's the way I read that one.
I don't see the Vikings as being desperate for wide receiver.
I don't know why you would be. Like, you have the,
you're going to get Addison back.
You have one of the best wide receiver tandems in the NFL. Probably top three. Probably top three. They might be third. They might have the
third
best. Tight
end's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have two running backs that are solid. The Vikings are I would say they have the third best wide receiver tandem in the NFL.
Behind the Eagles,
Bengals.
I have them ahead of the Eagles.
Bengals for sure is number
one. I have them ahead of the Eagles.
Yeah, no, you Bengals don't like AJ Brown.
I would now. Addison's suspension is a wrinkle here. No, I don't like Waddle, and I
Rams?
Think Tyreek's on the. Nope.
Devonta and Puka.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We might do this tomorrow. More like top five.
Well, we should.
I think no. I don't think you have to look very far either.
You saying Texas?
Dallas.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Oh, which one? Texans or Cowboys?
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas.
Could CD and Pickens
and
be the new Chase and Higgins?
I guess it depends on what you think
year,
of Pickens.
Right?
Probably.
Because CD's 95% of Jefferson IMO, but depends on what you think of Pickens.
Probably. Well, we're talking Chase.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I guess
either one. Either one.
Argument. I think they have a chance, the Cowboys, to be a top three wide receiver duo in the NFL.
Then they're a playoff team.
Bengals weren't last year.
That's true.
Last 2 years, they weren't. Now Burrow got hurt. And they have nothing else. I think one thing that benefits this argument is that they have no running game at all, and their defense sucks.
Right.
Their running game. They're going to put up numbers. CD and Pickens are going to put up numbers. Now, do they win a bunch of games? Not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do like the Dak stack with CD.
And Pickens, too. I think Pickens is going to do some numbers this year.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my preferred stack, but sure.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Branham should be Jacoby's agent. He is a mid as a second receiver. That's not true. You can't call him a mid second receiver. You're sleeping on Jacoby. If Jacoby's your second receiver, your receiver tandem's fantastic. Fantastic. He might be New England's best receiver. You think Jacoby Meyer's better than Diggs today?
Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
I'd
rather have him than Kirk.
Keep
it local.
I would, for sure. A little different style of play.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Kirk's demon. Number two, Jacoby's, well, I guess he's their one.
I like Jacoby, man. Keith from L.A., Puka's going to get paid when the time comes, no doubt. I mean, he's one of the best. Stop saying Nico got robbed, you're going to give him ideas, good point. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Breaking news, Nico Collins is on the official 53-man roster. The Texans have given it to us. They've finally given it. To us, the 53-man roster. We'll take a look. Anything stick out? Any surprises? The official 53 is out. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN. Going to give away some Houston Cougar football tickets in a little bit. Also, do not forget, Houston Restaurant Week's going on right now through Labor Day, September 1st. Diners across the greater Houston area can enjoy specially priced multi-course menus for brunch, lunch, dinner at nearly 350 participating restaurants. All of this supports the Houston Food Bank. For every dollar they get, they can donate three meals for every dollar. So doing good, supporting the Houston Food Bank, also supporting these restaurant industries, what is typically a slow time of year for them. So dine out, do good. Head to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to check out the full list. So Texans 53-man rosters here. Three quarterbacks, Stroud, Mills, Mertz. I'm surprised with Mertz, I'll be honest.
I am too.
Running backs, five of them. Chubb, Woody, Damian Dare, British Bulldog. Mixon was the big news here. We got that yesterday. I do think it's a surprise that our guy, the British Bulldog, makes it over Jacob Johnson.
Mm-hmm. I would agree as well. They got this guy, and they were singing his praises in camp that he was going to be the kind of guy they were looking for and a difference maker, and then he doesn't make the roster.
The question of the wide receiver position was six or seven. They decide to keep seven. Nico Kirk, Berrios, Hutchinson, Higgins, Knoll, and Watson. So no surprise there other than the number. We knew who it would be if they kept seven. It was Watson, the seventh. Well, I mean, we're guessing, I guess. Tight ends, they only kept two.
That's shocking to me.
No Harrison Bryant. Aaron Wilson reported that Irv Smith could start the season on IR. Yeah, they're not done stopping here. They're going to do something else.
Yeah, they're going to find some tight end somewhere else from outside to bring in, because I just can't see them going into the first game of the regular season with just two tight ends.
Need at least three. So something's still going to be done there. Waivers is through tomorrow afternoon. So, like, you can claim guys, all that sort of stuff, trade. Tomorrow's going to be a very active day as well. They keep nine offensive linemen. That number's fine. Patterson, Fisher, Andrews, Ingram, Scruggs, Howard, Cam Robinson, who was rumored to be on the trade block earlier today, Lakin Tomlinson, and Tay Ursary. This is normal to me.
Yeah, I think you had to have yourself solid insurance for your tackles. And I think that if they didn't get what they wanted to get it from Cam, then he was the guy that you have to just suck it up, pay him, and you got to keep him around.
I do believe they were shopping him.
Oh, for sure.
What do you think their price tag was? The minimum that they would have traded him for?
I thought that another player might be involved just because of the fact that they had a couple of holes that they could have used a player to fill, even tight end. But I thought a player might be involved. If not, maybe like a fifth?
Yeah, fifth would have been mine to ask at minimum. The defensive line, Will Anderson, Daryl Taylor, Danielle Hunter, Tommy Tagai, Sheldon Rankins, Foley Fatakasi, Dylan Horton, Derek Barnett, Mario Edwards Jr., Tim Settle Jr.
Where's Autry?
Yeah. Let me search his name real quick to see if he's on IR or something. There was some thought. Aaron Wilson tweeted this yesterday that he thinks he's healthy, but the Texans could put him on the IR. No, they've announced it. They've announced he's been put on the PUP. Danico Autry, Tank Dell, Kurt Heinisch have all been on the PUP.
Okay.
Non-football injury list, Joe Mixon, which I was watching an Aaron Wilson video. They could not pay him if they wanted to. You were right about that. But there's no way they're not going to do that
with multiple years on left on his deal.
Elijah Huzzy, also in the NFI list. Jalen Reed on the injured list. Also Irv Smith and Juwan Renfrey. So there's Irv Smith on the IR. But Autry starts the season on the PUP, which I'm okay with. Like, you're pretty deep at defensive line. He comes back after 4 weeks, ready to go. So he's still in the organization.
So he misses six last year, and he misses four right away this year.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, look, you're strong
there. If he can come back and do a lot of the things he did once he came back and got comfortable, like you said, he can be a shot in the arm.
Six linebackers, Azeez, Hanson, To'o To'o, Speed, Harris, Jamal Hill. Anything stand out to you?
I think Hill was the guy that they were raving about all camp. Hanson was the guy that was kind of, I thought, would be on the bubble. And I thought that they would move on from, but they love that kid.
Does it feel like too many for a team that's going to play only two linebackers most of the time?
No. I had them keeping six.
I mean, I guess special teams is the answer to my question.
I think I got all these right. The linebackers, specifically.
Pat on the back. But I don't know. You play nickel so much, it's two linebackers 80% of the 90% of the time, whatever it is. I don't know. It feels six like is a bit much other than the special team consideration.
I see your point. But, I mean, all those guys are going to play special teams outside of – Well, I mean, Hanson and Hill will play special teams. I'm not sure how much Harris, Speed, and 2020 are playing.
No, they wouldn't. No, well, maybe 2020.
Harris did last year in the playoffs.
Oh, that's true.
But
that's true.
I think that was a kind of weird circumstance. The defensive backs, Kalen Bullock, Kamari Lassiter, Jalen Petrie, Tremont Smith, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Derek Stingley, M.J. Stewart, and Jalen Smith. Tremont Smith's a little bit of a surprise for me.
That's the name that stood out to me as well. I for some sneaky reason, I don't think they're done there.
I would agree.
No, four corners doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah, I think they're looking.
He was with the Broncos last year, Smith. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to bring in a corner and a tight end but tomorrow at some point.
What about a long snap?
From where?
Well, they said that Brinkman's healthy.
Okay.
They said Brinkman. They kept three specialists, Townsend, Fairbairn, and Brinkman. What'd you say?
I mean, if they're bringing in, where do they cut from? It feels like maybe you bring in a tight end, you cut a wide receiver, you bring in a corner, you cut a linebacker. I'm trying to think of the positions where they feel like they have
one of them
more than they need.
I think they would have already done that with Mertz. I mean, Brooks, I think his job would be on the line. Watson, for sure. I mean, Brooks, I guess, is your fullback. How much do we expect him to use fullback? And do you think Stover could fill that spot if needed?
Probably.
Yes.
So I think Brooks would be on the chopping block potentially. I think Watson would be on the chopping block. I'm kind of thinking if Mertz made the 53, they wouldn't put him on the chopping block.
Yeah, I don't think his roster spot is related to where they fill.
But maybe it's like kind of you're playing poker a little bit, where like you don't want to subject Mertz to waivers right now. So like you keep him, then you release him after you bring in a tight end or something, hoping that all the other teams that needed third quarterbacks have fulfilled those needs.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I wouldn't put that past Caserio. He'd be the type of guy that would do that.
That kind of cagey move.
I think Smith could be a cut. I think he could be a spot where like it would have to be a corner to cut him. But I could see his job being on the line, like bring in a corner for him. But if you don't bring in a corner, you'd have to keep him for depth purposes. So, yeah, I mean, nothing crazy here.
Tight ends is crazy to me.
Yeah, that would be the craziest thing, I think, is the two tight end. But to me, it's just they're not done.
For sure. And I think that, look, a lot of teams, I saw the press conference with Howie Roseman where he said the next 24 hours, we're not done. We got work to do. And I think a lot of GMs think that, you know, if you don't have them in-house, there's still one last push to get a guy or two that you think is better than what you had in camp.
Yeah. I'm thinking tight end, corner. I think a few of these corners, too, that they cut today could be on the practice squad. Like an Arnett, is he somebody that somebody's – are they knocking down the door for the meth head? Or can they practice squad the meth head?
You think Mollett gets picked up somewhere?
I don't know. Like potentially, yeah.
There's some Ross good could be teams a practice that squad. Need corner help and at least backup corner help. Green Bay is one of them.
You can keep – how many can you keep now on the practice squad?
15.
So that's a good amount.
Yeah, I thought it was 15.
Is it that many?
And they always talk
they
about
it
how
to 15.
It's – okay. All these guys talk about how it's not a 53-man roster either. It's a 70-man roster. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, 53 is the 53, but it's really a 70-man.
That feels like what you tell yourself when you're on the 70th part of that.
I mean, Caserio talked about it. Frank Ross even talked about it last time he spoke to the media. How it's not a 53-man roster, it's a 70. And a lot of it's because of the call-ups. You can call up guys practice squad to fill roster spots. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Waiting for Keith to suggest the Texans sign that guy that's been cut 7 times. Probably.
He got a job.
He's going to be like, Champ Bailey. Sign Champ Bailey.
Keith kind of had a moment with the Astros sign Craig Kimbrell. That was right up his alley.
DiNardo is working for CBS Sports now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you're talking about Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, Ben DiNucci got cut for the 7th time, right. And now he's working for CBS.
Great. Did you see the video he
did? Yes.
It was fantastic.
That's funny.
The first one was just his arm with a beer and a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, being cut for your 7th team in the NFL hits a certain way you wouldn't understand, and everybody was giving their sympathy and whatever. And the next day he had a Falcons jersey on, a Cowboys helmet, his suitcase. He walked in the front door of his house, and then he put on a sport coat with a CBS logo on it and went career change. Got a job doing analyst work for CBS.
That's funny. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Dre, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Dr. Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's time to put people in their place, man. Talking about Shedeur Sanders, you know, hey, Israel. Your boy couldn't beat out an old, washed-up Joe Flacco or Dylan Gabriel, whoever the hell that is. I mean, he lost to a Dylan? Come on. What are we talking about, Israel? I do have a question for Israel. Do they drug test at your job? Because, man, I think you're maybe the son of Mary and Barry because crack kills. You know what I'm talking about? Another thing, let's talk about Benny Jopper. Why wasn't he on y'all tight end list for
Benny
all
Jopper.
All
Benny
time
Jopper
greatest,
from Michigan? 53-man
wow. roster. Appreciate the time, fellas. We'll see you at the party and have a good one.
You might
see
be banned you, now. You might be banned from the party.
Rack 'em.
Appreciate the call. He called Israel. He's
taking Benny Jopper's shots.
Benny Jopper
said Israel's on crack.
He's referencing Mary and Barry from, what, 30 years
Benny
ago?
Benny Joppa, before he ever played a game, they had him on the concourse with the legend signing autographs. It's like, it's not going so well for you.
You remember the tight end they chose him over in the second round?
No.
Jason Witten.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. It was just a few picks later.
Oof. That's a hard swing.
Where did Witten go to college?
Tennessee.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that. I remember Joppa went to Michigan, right?
Yep, he sure did.
What a bad pick. It's a name I wish I would have never heard again, Dre. Appreciate that. Said Israel's
just
on crack.
Points out how bad the tight end position's been for the Texans. Other than Owen
Keith's
Daniels.
Number or not, but they said the Texans should sign Antonio Gates, sign Keith. That's pretty good.
I mean, the Dolphins brought back Waller.
He did.
Yeah.
He still looked like he had plenty in the tank.
Here's a crazy idea. Did y'all see Gronk the other day talking to
he was big on Kaylee.
To Wes Welker.
Yeah.
You see Gronk talking to Wes Welker and how much praise he gave Nick Kaylee?
Yeah.
Third tight end.
You know what?
Third tight end.
He's better than Harrison Bryant. He's better than Irv Smith. Sure. Why not?
And his boy's out of the league, so he's got to look for the next best thing.
Third tight end. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Coming up next, we're going to play Men of the People, the winner. U of H tickets. So 713-780-3776. One of you will be assigned blankers. One of you will be assigned me. And we'll battle for your life to go to TDSU Stadium on Thursday. That's coming up next. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, what will make you a man of the people is if you bring a bottle of the Boomtown Bourbon or the Special Reserve from Old Humble Distilling Company to the party. Maybe you're having friends over to watch college football. Ohio State and Texas coming up this Saturday. Bring a bottle of Old Humble Distilling Company, one of their fine drinks there. That'll make you a man of the people. But let me tell you about Old Humble Distilling Company, Houston's finest micro distillery. I met with the owner, Joe, back in May, and his company is making the best line of whiskeys I've ever tasted. Maybe like me, you start off drinking the big brands because, you know, they're big names. It's what you see on TV. No shame in that. But I'm here to tell you there's a different way, a better option, and that option is local to make it even better. I got tired of the big brands because, to me, they all tasted the same. And what Joe, the owner of Old Humble Distilling Company, told me made so much sense. He said they all taste the same because the big brands are mass-produced, they use the same processes, and they're all made in the same area of the country. So if they all do it the same way, no wonder they taste the same. Not at Old Humble Distilling Company, where their process includes better ingredients, it's handcrafted, they even use captured rainwater in their process, and their spirits are aged in barrels as small as 5 gallons to give every bottle an added complexity and deeper character. But find out for yourself by grabbing a bottle at Specs, Total Wine, or finer retailers. Can't find it? Just ask for Old Humble Distilling Company by name. Better yet, swing by their Humble Tasting Room, open Tuesday through Saturday till 6 and Fridays till 9 for date night. We're on every Friday from 5 to 9. You can get 2 whiskey flights, 2 premium cocktails, and a charcuterie board for 2, all just for $50. Go to visit their distillery and tasting room at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960, and check out their premium selection of whiskeys at oldhumbledistilling.com. Try Old Humble Distilling Company, because life's too short for factory whiskey.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play Man of the People.
Brian's such a noob. Great read with all the phone calls behind you. Must have been tough. It's like the fans hurling insults at opposing players. So phone call. Professional read did a great job of blocking out the noise. Problem with that, though, is he couldn't answer the phone.
I like to think that people were just so enamored by hearing about Old Humble Distilling Company that they got distracted.
So 713-780-3776. Men of the People, if you want to play along, get yourself attached to a winner. Get yourself attached to a loser. You can say whoever that is. 713-780-3776. Contestant for Man of the People. Of course, we're playing for your right to go to the U of H football game on Thursday. A night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, the pageantry, and the roar of the crowd as a Houston Cougar football game. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get those tickets today. Come early, be loud, and wear red. All right, we got our contestants. Bucko is playing with Joel. Congratulations to
how did you deserve that?
I mean, good luck. Good luck to Bucko and Joel. I'm playing for Hefe. Hefe's on my team. So Hefe, Bucko, Branham Blank. Here we go, Brian. Take it away.
All right, question number one. We don't need a reminder of the rule, right?
No.
We're good here?
Jeremy needs a refresher.
Yeah, that's true. He does cry conspiracy. That one time he lost.
That doesn't matter. Buzz and Branham is the first thing. What's the difference between that and Branham?
All right, question number one.
The initial sound is what we go by.
All right, question number one. Name something associated with vampires.
Buzz.
Blood.
Man, that was...
How do you know you were first?
Because it was me.
That was really close. I couldn't tell. But I think I have to penalize him for jumping in.
Oh,
yeah, of course
you do. Well, you just assumed you got it.
What was that?
It was bang bang, and you just like, okay, I'm safe. Yeah. You got to wait for the umpire. Jeremy, go ahead.
Blood.
Blood is the second highest answer.
Nice.
So that's 2 points. Joel?
Clock.
Five. Four.
Teeth.
That's a good answer.
Teeth?
But like a bite.
Fangs was on the board, but it's low, so only 1 point there.
I was going to say that.
Number one answer was the movie Twilight. You got
what?
That's ridiculous. Where are you getting this info
soft.
From? Wherever you're pulling this from is not from the Family Feuds website.
Wasn't it like Team Edward and Team...
Jacob.
Yeah, I'm
so
embarrassed.
Blood,
I know
blood
that.
Was, as Jeremy said, was also on the list. And garlic, bat, cape, Dracula, fangs, and Halloween.
Doesn't garlic scare them off?
I think it's supposed to repel them, yeah.
And a cross, right?
Cross, holy water, yeah. Those are the other things you can use to fight a hypothetical vampire. All right, so Jeremy is up 2-1. Question two. If you could go to the Land of Oz, what would you ask the wizard for?
Buzz.
Jeremy.
Money.
Number one answer. Joel.
Good health.
Health is the number two answer. Good job. Sweet. That gives Jeremy a lead of 5-3. Question number three. Name something you find in a breakfast buffet.
Joel.
I heard Joel.
Eggs.
Eggs is the number one answer.
Dang it. I was going to say that. Bacon.
Bacon is the number two answer. All right. So that puts Jeremy at 7 and Joel at, do quick math,
6.
All right, yeah, it's tough. It's struggling in the streets here. I didn't have a semester as a math major. All right, question four. Name Marvel's Avengers. Just name a character.
Buzz.
Jeremy.
Captain America?
Number one answer.
You just changed the question. If your initial said named Marvel's Avengers, pause, just name a character.
Well, I'm explaining it because I realized the wording of it wasn't great. So
I don't think you got to.
I mean, you can't name. I'm not. What question would ask you to name six of them?
And it also didn't impact me. I got the number one answer.
Iron Man.
Iron Man is the number two answer.
Boy.
All right. So Joel, you're at 8, and Jeremy is at 10. Down 2 with 3 questions to go. Name something snowmen might have nightmares about.
Buzz.
Jeremy.
The sun.
Sun is the number one answer. Joel, 5, 4, 3, 2.
A snowplow.
Snowplow is on the board, but only 1 point.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, the rest of the answers were fire.
That was two?
Yeah, that was two. Blow dryers, rain, snowplow, which you said.
I was going to say heat, but I thought sun covered.
I would have been stuck after if I didn't sun.
Drought, snowballs, and peeing dogs. Was also
afraid of losing his
being dogs.
Yeah, so that makes it 13-9 in favor of Jeremy, but Joel, you're not out of
two questions.
Two questions to go. Name a place where if her husband took her there for their anniversary, a wife would be mad.
Joel. Fast food.
Tacky restaurant's the number one answer.
What was it?
Tacky restaurant, fast food. That's tacky restaurant. Yeah. So, all right. 3 points for Joel there.
Jeremy
gives him
the
up
answer.
To 12. Yep. Yeah. Joel, Jeremy, 5.
Sporting event.
Sporting event is the number 3 answer, only worth 1 point. The other answers were strip joint, a bar, bowling alley, his parents' house, the movies, and a car show. So that puts Jeremy at 14, Joel at 12. So, still very much in play here for the final question. Last question. In horror movies, name a place teenagers go where there's always a killer on the loose.
Buzz.
Jeremy.
The forest.
The Woods is the number one answer.
Oh, there it is.
All right, well, grins and giggles, but you have a guess here, Joel?
The Closet.
Closet is on the board, yeah, but only worth 1 point there. The number two answer was graveyard, movie theater, basement, bathroom, shower, bedroom, and a party were also.
I was thinking that commercial where they say instead of running, they go to the shed where all the chainsaws
are. Yes, yes, yeah. I think that's probably the inspiration for the question. So that makes Jeff El Jefe the winner for the Cougars tickets. Congratulations, Jeff.
Congratulations, Jeff. We'll see you out there at TDSU Stadium Thursday, Houston and SFA. Get your tickets, 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets. I'm excited. Year two of Willie, Connor Wigman there. Think it's going to be a good year. Think it's going to be a good year. I'm a homer, we know that, but I'm optimistic. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That's Hunter Brown's music. Hunter Brown on the bump. Kind of lost in the shuffle, huh? Hunter Brown before the game, always the lead story. Not tonight. Nope. Ron Alvarez, cleanup man in left field. Jose Altuve DHing. I'm wondering if something's there. If I'm picking up something that they're putting down. I wonder.
The experiment is over?
I don't know. I don't think they like him playing defense, period.
But you're playing him against a ground ball pitcher.
Well, they're not playing.
Oh, he's DH.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, maybe left field's off.
I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, what's Hunter going to do against this Rocky lineup?
6 1/3, one run.
Done.
Yep.
Done. Sounds good. All right, let's get 2
What's
R.
your dog going to do tonight?
2 for 4 with a donk. Your dog in his return.
Wow.
I'll say one. Right now. Dan LaPlaya
I'll say
right
one.
Now. Did you play that twice?
No, don't.
No, I just played it once.
I feel like there was like a little echo, a little reverb there. Coming up after us, make sure you keep it here. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis at 6 o'clock. And then Hall of Fame with the boat, Brad Gilmore, and the biggest jobber of all time, Booker T. Let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day, 713-780-ESPN. What do you have?
I had one that Brian has, so I'll give that one to Brian. The A's last night on a deep foul ball against Tarek Skubal went full home run remote. They turned off all the lights. They were flashing it. The scoreboard went nuts. The fireworks went off, and it was a foul ball. So after Skubal finished the at-bat with a strikeout, he started waving to the press box to see if they would do it again.
Wow.
Yeah. Bad miss by the game operations and game presentation people.
That's a massive miss.
Yeah. He saw the ball go foul, and he looked up in the light standards, and everything went dark. And he's like, what the hell's going on? Then he strikes him out and is like waving his hands like, come on, do it now.
Was it deep? Okay, so it was deep.
It was down the left field line, and it was left of the foul.
Okay. I thought, I mean, still a major mistake.
Right.
But it would have been, like, way worse if it was, like, fouled back. You know what I mean?
Yes. It wasn't even close to being considered the distance for a home run.
That's funny that Skubal was talking trash.
Yeah, he was fired up.
Saw people. So good. What else you got?
And the one not as big, but one to keep an eye on, especially we talk about teams that might be looking to clear house. Tanner Beebe, who has not been acting like a good teammate lately, came off the mound between innings and started screaming into the dugout. And manager Stephen Vogt followed him, was talking to him, and then turned around and had a march towards the clubhouse.
Wow.
And the cameras caught it. And, of course, the Cleveland broadcast was trying to, like, not show as much of it. But it got pretty fiery down there.
What was he mad about?
I don't know if it was defense or something, but he seemed to be clear that he was calling out or selling out his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
And Vogt just wasn't having it.
That's exactly what happened. I just pulled up the video.
Yeah.
Has he been good, Tanner Bibby?
No, lately they said he's been doing a whole lot more of that than he has been pitching well.
I wonder if they should send him down.
Maybe.
Have him think about his actions.
Cam Smith?
You know I'm in favor of that.
Yep.
My car wreck of the day. Did you see this, these negotiations going on with YouTube and Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting dicey for college football and NFL.
They're not costing us football
games.
Oh,
it's happened before.
Yes, it has.
I don't
remember,
think they...
CBS and DirecTV cost us an NFL weekend.
Right, and the local over-the-air CBS, too.
Actually, I think it cost us two.
It was at least two.
Because I think I did the trial for FUBU 1 week and then the trial for YouTube TV the second week.
Yeah, because you didn't get the locals. And it affected DirecTV. It was DirecTV and CBS nationally, but it affected your local CBS, and the Texans games were on CBS.
2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks worth.
Yep.
I think
I'm not buying it.
Well, you're not buying it because you want to be
optimistic.
You don't
think it's going to happen? It's happened before.
Well, he's not buying it because he doesn't want to miss Texas. Do you have YouTube TV?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is classic leverage. We've seen this happen 1,000 times.
We have.
Jeremy, don't.
We
don't,
have.
Don't call me a hater, but I hope it happens now just so he has to endure.
We've seen it happen. Most of the time, you're right. But it has happened before where games were missed in that city. And you're going to be bummed out. Hey, you might not be so bummed out because Ohio State's going to beat Texas.
Please.
Ohio State's favored, no?
Texas is back.
Back to losing opening week. 100% right.
Last time they played there, who won?
Texas.
That's right. Shout out to BY. To Lima Swede.
Was that the national championship game, right?
Yeah.
They lost the first game of the year?
And then Texas lost the rematch the following year in Austin, yeah.
That's right. That was with
Troy Smith.
Who replaced Vince Young?
Colt McCoy.
Was it Colt?
Yeah, that was a true freshman.
Colt lost to Ohio State?
He did.
In that game?
That was his first career game, yeah.
Colt McCoy doesn't look like the kind of guy that would start as a true freshman.
He did. He started all 4 years.
Yeah, and then then wasn't it when his dad was like coming to see
that
if he
was in the
right
title game against Bama.
Yeah.
And then he was replaced by Gilbert?
Garrett Gilbert, yeah.
So YouTube and Fox negotiating. What's yours, Brian?
We don't have time for the audio, but go out and find it. John Boy had it, I know for sure. Not that I want to give him a plug, but Wilson Contreras of the Cardinals lost his mind last night. Got called out for a strike three. That was a strike. I mean, if he was under the rules where he could challenge, he would have lost the challenge. And he proceeded to get so heated that not only did he curse out the ump, but he threw a bat, I think we intended for the ump, hit one of his coaches, and then went to the dugout and threw an entire container of bubblegum out on the field. He lost it.
He got six games and an undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah.
Six feels light.
It does feel light. You threw a bat at an official.
I'll tell you, you know why it's light? Because the bat was headed towards an umpire and it hit the hitting coach.
I meant extreme. It feels extreme. Like the one dude for Seattle threw the bat at the pitcher got 10. It feels unproportional there.
That's what I'm saying. He lucked out that his hitting coach took that one literally for him and the team.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't hit him and hits the umpire, he's done for the rest of the year.
Deontay Johnson says a texter. Paulie saying Burrow's better than Breeze and then me for calling Fubo TV Fubu TV. My bad. What wins here?
I mean, it's Wilson Contreras,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Wilson Contreras.
Congratulations, Wilson. You're the winner. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Soccer Matters. Glenn Davis right now on ESPN 97.5.
He's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
ESPN 97.5.